Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Something strange had just happened to me during the singing of that last song. I suddenly felt a bit peculiar. I don't know whether it's anxiety or what, but I'd like someone to pray for me. Is there a volunteer for that? James again. Oh, no. Oh. Yeah, we can have more than one. James first, and then thank you.
For you and to hear what you have to say to us this morning. We thank you for being our God. Thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that we can join together as a family and belong to you. And Lord, I just pray for Tony this morning as he unfolds what he's prepared in his thinking this week, in his studies, and has set prayerfully before you, Lord. And I just pray for this peculiar feeling he has, Lord. Just lift that from him, we pray. And so bless us, Lord, as we seek to know more of you, to serve you better, and love you more purely and more devoutly, Lord. We thank you for this time together. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Chris. Almighty and everlasting God, as we just stand before you, we're in awe, Lord. We think of Moses bringing the people of God to the mountain and how different that was. Moses was going to speak to God. And there you were in the fire. And when he spoke, you answered with a thunderous voice. Lord, it's amazing that through the Lord Jesus, you have opened the way for us to speak to the Almighty God, the one who created each and every one of us and everything that we see, feel, touch, smell through our senses. Lord, there is just so much that we don't understand. But we do understand, Lord, that we meet here today to hear from you. And we praise you, Lord, for our brother who has spent time in your presence listening to you. Lord, you have ordained this way of communicating with us, and we praise you and we thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we pray that you would calm his physical state and that you would move in his heart and give him words to speak that would communicate so that we can actually hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Story itself, I want to see what can we learn from these people who were characters in the story. And so I'm going to be looking this morning at the shepherds, the wise men, Herod, Simeon, and Mary. And they're not going to be all in a chronological order, as you'll see, but there's a point for that. So we start with the shepherds. What can we learn from them and their response to the good news of the birth of Jesus? Now, we often sing, it is indeed a favourite song at Christmas time, Silent Night, Holy Night. It wasn't for the shepherds. For the shepherds, it was the host of heaven singing glory to God in the highest. They were out there looking after their sheep at night, perhaps sitting in a circle around a fire, chatting away, when suddenly an angel appeared. And then with that angel, the heavenly host of angels singing and praising God. So it was quite an experience. It was terrifying for them, I guess. They'd never encountered anything like it. Surreal. And this encounter with the angel and the message that he brought and the heavenly choir prompted them to say, "Let us go and see." And that's the first point of these shepherds. They said, "Let us go and see what the angel's been telling us about." And in doing that, they did something that they probably hadn't done before. Scripture says, they left their sheep and went to see the newborn baby. So what lessons, what parallels can we learn from that? As you appreciate, it's a very shortened version of the scriptural story. And these are the points that I would urge you to consider. They heard something that grabbed their attention. They went to see for themselves, and they met Jesus. They left spreading the good news, and others were amazed at what they told them. They praised and glorified God. Have we lost something of the simplicity of a gospel like that? The simplicity of saying, "I heard, I went to see, I found, and I told others, and praised God." So here's my first question for you to ponder for yourselves. Where are you in that progression? Have you simply heard about Jesus, but carry on hearing about him? Have you decided to go and see for yourself? To make a move past that, "Well, I've heard of him." Have you met Jesus? Now, you can come to church every Sunday for however many years you want. It doesn't mean that you've met Jesus. You need a personal encounter with him. And are you now a spreader of that good news, that message? The second part is the wise men. You will find that in Matthew 2. Here's an interesting point. For any of you who are asked to run a Christmas quiz with any group, I ran a quiz for a community group in the previous church, and I posed this question to them. According to the Bible, what were the names of the three wise men? You fell into the trap. It's a trick question, brother. Because it said, according to the Bible, not according to tradition. In Scripture, the names are not given. Okay? So if you're running a quiz, note that down quickly and see how many people fall for the trick question. They were Gentiles. They were scholars. They had a thirst for knowledge, a thirst for enlightenment. And they invested a lot of time, because apparently it's going to be a very long journey following that star. A lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of expense in seeking this newborn king. The question for you and for me is, how much time and effort and expense are we prepared to invest in seeking the Savior? How many of us give up at the first hurdle? I wonder whether the wise men's interest was purely academic. Did their trip lead them to salvation? We don't know that. But, you know, some people are more happy to talk with us about Jesus in a philosophical way. They can do that, but not a life-changing experience. And for us, we need to come to a time, each one of us in our lives, when we realize that head knowledge is simply not enough. It has to be heart-changing, life-changing experience that is lived out not just in our thinking, but in our whole lives. And if those people are seeking wisdom, for us we know that the scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where we need to find it. So don't seek Jesus out of purely academic motives. And don't come to church every Sunday purely for friendship and social needs. Seek Jesus with all the intensity of those three wise men. But seek him in your heart. Next is a character that we don't normally pay much attention to in this Christmas story, and that's Herod, and that's found in Matthew 2:16. You see, we've had the joyful, simple response from the shepherds, the intellectual quest from the wise men, and now we see the response of someone who feels frightened, angry, and threatened. Herod's kingship and authority were both being threatened. His response was one who just feels my whole being, my position, my power, my wealth, it's all being threatened by another king. It's interesting, isn't it, how many people refer to the so-called myth of Christianity. So many people use terms like the opiate of the people, the crutch of the inadequate, the fable that was Christ has been such a challenge to people in power and authority throughout the ages. And believers throughout the ages and today are being tortured and killed for something that their tormentors claim was untrue. Isn't that incredible? And perhaps it's because behind it, behind such evil, godless authorities, lies the one who does believe in Christ, who does know his power, and who trembles, Satan. So throughout the ages we've had rulers just like Herod saying, this Christ is not having my place. I will not yield to him. And in our lives we may not be in positions of power and authority, but we may be in a position of saying, I don't want this Jesus to change my life. I refuse to yield my life to him. And that's the opposite of Mary, who we'll look at towards the end, who simply said, I'm your servant. Let it be as you say. Next is Simeon, and I'm going to read this passage of Simeon from Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own heart, your own soul too." So here's this man, Simeon. The text implies that he's an older man. He's waiting patiently for the Messiah, waiting for, as it's termed here, the consolation of Israel, for the nation to be consoled. Just to see the Messiah was all that he needed. He saw Jesus and he knew. Here was the answer to all his longing. His contentment was complete. All Israel waiting for the Messiah. It was part of their history, part of their future, part of their culture. But for Simeon, it appears to have been something more. It was an active waiting, if we can say that. An active waiting and longing. It was not simply one day it will happen. For Simeon is, one day it will happen and I want to be there. Is that a desire of your heart for Jesus? One day he will return and I want to be there. What kind of man was Simeon? In the verses that we read, we see that the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. The Holy Spirit moved him. The Holy Spirit prophesied through him. Here's a man who is full of the Holy Spirit. His whole experience was living with the Spirit of God in his life. Do you and I know that kind of experience? The experience of the Holy Spirit being upon us, speaking to us, moving us, speaking through us. It's not all incredibly miraculous stuff. Sometimes it's just a nudge that we feel. And it's the Holy Spirit saying, go. Go. Do that. Speak to that person. Bless that person. Do we have the Holy Spirit? Are we allowing him to move us in the way he moved Simeon? And finally, we come to Mary. As I said, it's out of chronological order, but no matter. A remarkable young woman. In the gospel musical called The Witness, it was said, I quote, "Her simple, constant obedience to God made her the most remarkable woman who had ever lived." Now, we don't venerate Mary in the same way as the Catholic Church does. But she certainly was blessed. And she certainly got a lot to teach us. A remarkable woman. In another musical, The Glory of Christmas. And it's a great musical. And even the title, you know, just gives you a lift. The Glory of Christmas. When Gabriel announces to Mary, it's in a song that is entitled, "Good Morning, Special Lady." Although the main focus is and should remain upon Jesus, there are things we can learn from Mary as well. As we look at her, remember that she was probably no more than a teenager at the time. But we see in her something of her obedience, her acceptance of God's will, her spiritual awareness. When the announcement was made, there was never a message like that before or since. There's no way that we can really fully grasp the impact on Mary. On a human level, She could, strictly speaking, have been stoned, at least publicly disgraced, humiliated. But on a different level altogether, how on earth could a young teenager cope with the message that she would bear the Messiah, God's Son? A fantastic proclamation. And what was her response to this? Can I think about this? Can I go home and have a chat with my mum and dad? I'd better go and see Joseph and I'll get back to you. No. Her response was, I am your servant. Let it be to me as you have said. And it wasn't just a mere acceptance or resignation. This was a response that came from a heart of servanthood and love of God. It's saying, whatever is God's desire shall be my desire. And in a book by Gene Edwards called The Birth, he says this: the angel Gabriel is leaving Mary, having pronounced this tremendous news to her and having received her response. And he pauses at the door and whispers to himself, truly, our God has chosen well. When our desires are guided by God's word, and our hopes are grounded in God's word, then we can begin to know what it means to walk God's way, to know his purposes, to know fulfillment, to know joy, though not always happiness. And I put that in response to Giles mentioning those of you who have been through hard times recently. But also Mary received a prophecy that said, it's going to be hard for you too, Mary. And later, when Mary visits Elizabeth, her relative, as soon as Elizabeth heard her greeting, the baby within her leaps for joy. And that's the second reading I want to bring. It's from Luke chapter 1, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped within her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby within my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what God has said to her will be accomplished. Can we pronounce that as a blessing over all of us? Blessed is the one who has believed that which the Lord has said. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. That's Mary's song. That's known too as the Magnificat. And it's an outburst of, what did he describe? The joy. And perhaps, having heard the news from Gabriel, It was all still churning over in her heart. And perhaps that's one reason she went to visit Elizabeth. But when she gets to Elizabeth, God graciously gives to Mary a human confirmation of a divine message. The angel said it. Now Elizabeth is confirming it. And we get a response from deep within her soul. Break forth into joy, O my soul. How often, if we're honest, have we had the experience of joy breaking forth in our souls, welling up, overflowing? I don't mean 50 hallelujahs and amens a minute in a worship service, but a special, deep-seated spring bursting forth in some expression of joy with laughter, tears, words of praise, singing and dancing. As the favourite song of the nation goes, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. Sings my soul, not just my lips, not just words on a screen, but my very being is glorifying God. There's so much more about Mary and her experience. However, I need to skip the birth, although we already have in looking at Simeon and the temple. And sorry, I lost my thought for a moment there. Yeah, let's return to Simeon and also Anna in the temple with him. Mary heard more declarations about her son being promised son of Israel. She heard prophecies that were painful. In Luke chapter 2, it says in the Amplified Bible that all the time she pondered these things in her heart. And here's another lesson from Mary. Pondering in our hearts. In the NIV, in verse 19 and 51, we are told that she treasured all these things in her heart. The things that God does and says in our lives, they are to be treasures, and we must store them up. Not in a sense of a museum full of old, out-of-date and dry relics. Rather, they could be described as foundation stones in our knowledge of God, or maybe milestones on our journey. And there are things to be added to in our spiritual journey. But let us not sit at the side of the road just looking back and pondering and treasuring, but looking forward and moving forward. Scripture tells us, 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we are being changed from glory to glory into the likeness of his Son. But we can be sitting on the side of the road, echoing the words, "We shall not. We shall not be moved." We need to look forward and move forward and discover new and precious thoughts of God and from God. New and precious words from him. New and precious God actions in our lives. And we need to treasure them, ponder them, and chew them over like a cow chewing the cud. Because it just gets up what it's already eaten and chews it over again, till it gets all the goodness out of it that it can. Getting the last possible benefit from it and asking, what is God saying here? What is God doing in my life? What does it tell me about God? What does he want of me? What does he want me to do? And so we see something of the impact on people's lives of the birth of the Saviour. What effect does it have on you? Is it just nativity scenes that come to mind? Is it the food, the mince pies, the turkey? Is it the gifts? Is it being with family? What effect does Jesus have on you? Like the shepherds, you've heard about Jesus. If this is not your first time at Bethel, you've heard about Jesus. Have you decided to find out for yourselves something more? Perhaps for you, you're a thinker. And perhaps it's a little too academic. Perhaps you have to work things out in your mind. Like the people who try every religion that they can find and examine it and compare, trying to decide what's best for them. Perhaps like Herod, Jesus and his claims on your life are too threatening and you're reacting against him. I will not let Jesus affect a change in my life. Perhaps like Simeon, you too are longing to see Jesus, the returning Jesus, not as a baby, but as a glorious, victorious king. He's coming back. Is he coming for you? It's something that, again, we can't grasp fully. Just as the original coming of Jesus, in the words of a song that Rowena and I have been listening to over the past few weeks, we may consider that many babies are born and we love them, cooing over them, they're lovely and sweet. And over the years, some of those have grown up and become kings. But only one king has become a baby. First time he came as a baby, second time he's coming as king. Is he coming back for you? A conclusion now. Perhaps instead of New Year resolutions, I don't know whether anyone here makes those, we should all resolve to seek the Lord in a deeper way or for something particular. Several times in Scripture we see that God wants to help us clarify our thinking. He said to Solomon, what would you say if I said you could have anything in the world? What would you have? What do you ask for, Solomon? And Solomon asked for wisdom. He said to the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? The answer may seem obvious, but he wanted a response from each of those and many other situations. We have many desires, many needs, and perhaps we need to ask the Holy Spirit to lay on our hearts something particular to go after for this coming year. And sometimes what we need to do, if you're going through a difficult time, find a scripture that relates to it and pray into that scripture. Pray it and persist in it. And say, Lord, this is what your word says. That's what I want. And the reason I want it is, well, the reason we should all want it is to glorify God. A friend of ours died recently, and when he knew his time had come and he was approaching his death, he stated quite clearly, whatever happens, I want God to be glorified. Do we have that as foremost in our minds? And we must guard against selfish reasons. We can ask God for things that maybe to bless the lives of others, to be more usable in the kingdom. But above all, we need to ask that it will bring honor and glory to his name. In the film a beautiful mind, a character says this: I need to believe that something extraordinary is possible. Let me say that again. I need to believe that something extraordinary is possible. That made an impact on me, and I grabbed a piece of paper and I wrote it down, not knowing that I would use it this morning, but it struck me. The wording of it I found quite helpful, because for me it echoes the man in Scripture who said to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think we've all been there, haven't we? We believe these things, but there's doubt there. We're struggling to believe and take action upon. And this statement is saying, it's a recognition of that. And if it were being said to God, it's, I need to believe that you can do something extraordinary. I believe that's possible. And you know, our God is a God of the extraordinary. Our God is a God of miracles. A God of wonders. And yet, if we're honest, we don't live with that. We don't grasp it. We don't see it. And I believe we need to take hold of this statement or something like it. Lord, I need to believe this. I need to believe you for this situation in my life. And I'm going to persist in prayer until you do something extraordinary in my life. Wouldn't it be great if everyone here in the new year found that God had done something extraordinary in their lives? So maybe train yourself each morning as you wake up to say, Lord, I need to believe you for something extraordinary. And you may already know what that extraordinary thing is for you in your life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed an awesome God, and you reign from heaven above. Thank you for these familiar stories that we have before us today and over this Christmas period. But may we learn from them, not just smile sweetly as we look at nativity scenes and go to nativity concerts and so on. Help us to appreciate, understand, to grasp all the clues that are there in Scripture for us to reach that point of saying, yes, Lord, something extraordinary is what I'm looking for in order that your name be glorified. Amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.